Blog Talk Radio. Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Lynn at Century Health Talk. What a day. Right now, I'm kind of running on, I'm not sure what I'm running on, but we had a busy day today. I've been training two people at the office, and then just got done with a massage, and then all of a sudden I had to switch my thinking to Blog Talk, and then I had technical difficulties, like usual, so it's really one of those days. I do have Sifu Restita de Jesus on the line, and I was going to have a second guest on here. His name was Aaron Irons in California, but he had to bow out because of the fact that he had other things that needed his focus. Good evening, Sifu. How are you today or tonight?
I'm doing great. How's everyone over there?
Yeah, a little overwhelmed and quite yet fully on the Blog Talk. That thing.
Yeah, I guess it didn't help that my call didn't like go through all that well the first couple times.
Were you having problems too?
Well, like I could when I initially called, I could hear you. But I couldn't
speak to you.
Oh, no, that
was my problem.
Oh, that was your thing. Okay.
Yeah, because I was going to use the other computer to do the Blog Talk, because whenever I've been using Skype on my laptop, mm-hmm. in 3 to 5 minutes into the show, I hear echo.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to see if it'll do it better with the newer computer, but for some reason the mic wasn't – I'm not sure if the mic was working, but I couldn't hear a thing.
So that took
another couple of minutes, and then I said, okay, fine, I'll put it on the laptop. And then I heard
I'm glad we're working. Awesome. Well, I'm glad we're working now. This is good.
And I'm glad we're talking about Tai Chi, because I've taken Tai Chi classes, so
yeah.
I don't have to research too much about it.
Right.
Well, thank goodness for that.
Cool.
But yeah, you have a class that you have to end around 8:30. So yeah. And what class are you doing right now?
I'm doing kung fu / eskrima.
Ah.
So we did some kung fu from 7 until about 7:45, and then we switched gears to Filipino martial arts, and that's what they're going to be doing until about 8:30. And then about 8:30, I'm going to have to be gone for about 5 minutes, but my phone will be on mute, so I'll still be with the show, but I won't be talking because I have to end the class, bow them out, get the place cleaned up, and then and then I'll be sitting in my car where it's quiet.
Which is basically I'm going to be talking by myself for all that
much.
I talk to myself all the time, but usually I'm by myself.
So, Aaron, are you there tonight, or is he there?
He had to leave, too. So,
I know.
And then at one point, Andy wanted to be here, and then he just remembered he had homework to do, so he had to leave, too. It's like, what is going on? Is everybody leaving me? Am I supposed to now feel abandoned?
We both can take turns. We both can be – I'll be your co-host. How's that?
Hey,
I'll be your guest co-host.
It's the Lynn and Rusty show
for tonight. But I mean, if we give that number out, we'll have some people calling in.
Yeah,
I hope so. I told some of my Tai Chi people to call in.
Oh, wonderful! And somebody.
I hope they got the message.
Actually, I have somebody on the. Already have called in, so I'm not
gonna, cool. Let's find out who they are.
Let's see. This person is going to be online live. Then
that'd be great.
Hi, who's this? last four digit is 0378. How are you doing tonight? Hello? Uh-oh, maybe they're just listening. It could be Susan. She
is
was
it
talking.
Hello, caller?
Hello, caller?
It is Susan.
It's Susan. I'm sorry.
Hello,
Susan.
Hey!
Are you having technical difficulties as well?
Yeah, it's mind difficulties, I think.
That one I cannot help.
This caller is my student, Susan, one of my Tai Chi students. So thanks for calling, because it'll be great. You'll be perfect to add to this discussion. It'll be cool. But it kind of depends on what Lynn wants to talk to. She's leading, and I'm just kind of
I actually want to talk about stuff that I've missed out. I mean, I've taken, almost a year and a half of Tai Chi with you, and then I had to leave because I'm the only one I was the only one working here at the office. So that was kind of difficult juggling some kind of a personal life.
Which is kind of ironic because now, you've got all this stuff going on and, a bajillion things going on where you really could use Tai Chi.
I really could use Tai Chi.
But, you got all this stuff going on over there, so it's kind of ironic.
if there wasn't much of a drive, I think I would do it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So, Susan, well, let's just get this thing started.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, Susan, how long have you been doing Tai Chi?
I think it's been 10 or 11 years.
Dang.
A long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Has it been with Sifu or has it been with different teachers then?
No, it's been with Sifu the whole time.
How old are you, Sifu? No, just kidding. Huh? I know how old she is. I was just making a joke.
Yeah, that was funny. Oh,
well,
God,
I'm
that's awesome.
I'm Sifu, so.
Yeah. Let's just leave it at that.
I started practicing Tai Chi without having any idea what it was. I had, astronomically high blood pressure, and I was really sick, and I was taking pharmaceutical drugs that were making me more sick every day. And I went to the doctor, and she said, I heard Tai Chi can help people with blood pressure problems. And so I went, I was driving home, and I stopped at the light in front of this martial arts school that I had seen a million times and paid absolutely no attention to. And there was this student outside, and she was painting on the window, Tai Chi lessons now enrolling, and the phone number. So I'm this is a sign. So I call the phone number, and I'm like, I think I need Tai Chi lessons. And I started that, right after that, and it took me a long time to figure out what Tai Chi was. I went and I loved it, but I had no idea what I was doing. And, it's been 11 years, and I'm still not sure I know what I'm doing, but I love it.
So not only are you having technical difficulties, you're having Tai Chi difficulties too.
Maybe, but it's one of those things that I'm like, I'm a mother and I'm a business owner and I'm a designer and all the rest of my life I tell everybody else what to do. And in Tai Chi, I go there and I'm like, after 11 years, I still feel like I'm a beginner and I have something to learn every day. And it's been a fantastic, amazing adventure for me. And my blood pressure is normal now.
Even when you don't know what the heck you're doing after 11 years. That's pretty cool.
Exactly. I don't know if I'll ever know what I'm doing. I do a little bit each day. I learn something new every time I come to a class. I practice by myself. But this is something that's it's so cool because I don't think I'm ever going to master it. There's always something more I can learn.
That's funny because when I started, I was like, teach me more, teach me more. But then again, all that stuff that I learned, I'm going, wait a minute, what was that again? and then you think you got it, and then next thing you know, she's tweaking it a little bit more, and I'm going, oh, I've been doing it wrong.
little steps, definitely little steps is the key. Because I'm going to get into the stereotypes of Tai Chi just to give our listeners an idea of, you know, why little steps is so important. You know, there's a stereotype out there that, you know, by no fault of anyone, it's just, you know, it just happens that many people think that Tai Chi is only for old people, right? Basically, you know, an activity that people can go to when they can't do anything else. And I have to beg to differ on that it's an activity anyone can do, regardless of age. You can be 6 years old and do Tai Chi. You can be 86 years old and do Tai Chi. You know, what I like to say is, you know, start doing Tai Chi now so that way you can keep doing something later. That's the that's the thing, because, let's face it, you know, people doing, like, Taekwondo, you know, MMA, wonderful, beautiful arts, beautiful kicking and MMA. I love watching the fights as much as the next person. But let's face it, you're not going to be able to do that when you're 80 years old. You're not.
Yeah.
You know, you're not. Can you do Tai Chi when you're 80 years old? You bet. You know, and I've seen, you know, people, you know, upwards of 80, 90, 100 years old when I was in China doing Tai Chi. And I ask them, what's the secret of you living so long? Eating right, exercise, Tai Chi. And I'm like, oh, well, okay. Can't argue with someone who's 100 years old, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, because of that stereotype that Tai Chi is for old people, many people have that, I guess, that other stereotype that it must be easy, right? Because it's for old people. Yeah, I hear you guys laughing because
you guys know, right?
Exactly. And anyone out there listening that has done Tai Chi, you know, it's not that easy, especially if you're learning Tai Chi as the full art, right? Now, there's, you know, Tai Chi where you're just doing it for the exercise, you know, like I do. You know, I've taught at many senior centers and retirement homes, and for the most part, when I go to those venues, I teach Tai Chi primarily for the exercise, for the get up and move. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You know, they're not interested in learning how to throw someone to the ground. They're not learning, you know, how to punch someone. They're not going to learn how to kick. They're not going to learn the Quan or the fist way part of Tai Chi. But will they learn the philosophy and the movement and the inherent concept behind Tai Chi? You bet, whether they're sitting, standing, what have you. But even then, you know, the senior citizens will go, wow, this isn't as easy as I thought. And they enjoy that. They enjoy that challenge. It's not something that they feel that they're, you know, relegated to doing only because they're old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They feel a sense of empowerment the same way that we would feel if we run a mile for the first time in, you know, in a year or something. It's that same type of empowerment. And, you know, the thing that I want people that have never done Tai Chi before to understand is that, you know, it is something that anyone can do at any age, regardless. It's not something that you do when you can't do anything else. A previous show that I did on my show, Dynamic Dojo Show, I interviewed a respected Tai Chi instructor here in Seattle, Kimberly Ivy, and she says the same thing. And her teacher says the same thing. Chen Xiao Wang says, do Tai Chi now so you can do everything later. You know, you know, do it now. It's you know, it's great. And I mean, I can go on and on about the benefits of it, but that we're going to get into that slowly. But little steps are needed to learn Tai Chi, because as easy as the movements look, you know, if an audience watches a Tai Chi master do Tai Chi, it looks effortless. But that's only because they've been doing it so long,
and they're doing it correctly.
And they're doing it correctly, and they're applying Tai Chi principle and applying the theory of yin and yang to all of their movements. That's why it looks so effortless, you know. And I think that's where a lot of the stereotype comes from. Oh, look how pretty it is. Look how effortless it is. Look how easy it looks to do. When in fact, you know, any Tai Chi master out there that does make it look that beautiful and that easy had been doing like upwards of maybe 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years of arduous everyday training, not just on the weekends, no weekend warrior stuff, not every other day, but every day, arduous training to make it look that easy. And that's what a lot of people that don't know what it is, that's something that they miss when learning Tai Chi. On the other hand, I don't want to scare people away from doing Tai Chi. I'm not going to demand that people go into Tai Chi and practice every day for 5 hours. That's, you know, that's not the point. The point is that every day you can practice Tai Chi principle, not necessarily the form. And we'll get into that a little bit later. I'm gonna play the riddler and the sifu that pulls out the riddle, and then people got to think about it for a while, and then give the answer.
That's okay. I'm still doing that right now.
But yeah, little steps are needed because it is so vast. The movements are easy, but the theory and the stuff that you can discover is so vast. That's why, you know, when I say little steps, you make progress, you know, gradually, very gradually. So
basically, yeah, I just keep practicing. And the thing is that even when I was practicing the 18
form,
and then you were teaching it little by little by little, and I was just getting like, come on.
Give me more.
And then next thing you know, it's like, because I kept doing the same thing over and over again, and my right leg was the one that's getting too tired because it was being used too much.
I'm sure she even knows that feeling. Same thing over and over and over again.
And, the fantastic thing is that I can do it over and over and over again, and I learn something new every time. I can go to a beginner's class, and I hear the same explanation I'm sure that I heard when I was a beginner, but I take something new from the time I hear it.
See, yeah, as a beginner, though, I didn't know what I was learning from, even the mistakes that I was doing, because I didn't know that that was a mistake until she kept tweaking it and tweaking it. I'm going, what?
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, it's like, oh, I see what she's talking about.
Right. And that's what we're talking about when we mean gradually, because it's like teaching any other thing that involves, you know, any type of skill. It doesn't matter if it's basket weaving or Tai Chi, right? You know, or in this case, you know, I like using the term like teaching kids anything, right? Mm-hmm. You get them to do the big gross motor movement first. Don't worry about tweaking it right off the bat, because that's something that any new teacher at anything will want to do. They want to make sure that everything's correct the first time. Not just Tai Chi instructors, but anybody.
Uh-huh.
You know, I know I see it in martial arts. New teachers, they get their new black belt, and I say, okay, you're going to assist in this class, and can you help that person? And they want to make sure everything is done the way it's supposed to be done, black belt way, the first time, teaching a beginner. And, you know, and the first thing that I have to remind people is remember where you came from. You came from knowing nothing to learning something and then getting better at it, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same thing, right? So, you know, as you guys learn through my classes, and all Tai Chi instructors will teach a little bit differently, but for the most part, I believe that pretty much any Tai Chi instructor will teach the gross motor movement first. And then as the movements get practiced over and over and over again, repetition is the key, that's when they start tweaking it, until finally the student discovers, oh, this feels right, quote-unquote, in relation to what I felt 6 months ago. And once they see that juxtaposition and feel the difference between what they thought was like relaxed movement and relaxed movement now, they can apply that to any new thing that they learn. They'll know, oh, okay, well, okay, this is new. This is kind of tough. Well, that was a wild movement. How am I going to learn that, right? But if they know gradually, there's no rush. You know, Tai Chi doesn't have a time limit. Once people accept that, and that there is no goal for black belt, there is no black belt in Tai Chi. Once people understand that, then the practice becomes enjoyable, and the practitioner becomes motivated to practice as opposed to thinking, I have to go to class. And that's when the big learning really happens, when the true understanding starts to shoot through the roof and the aha moments start to happen. That's when that happens. Pretty
aha.
Cool stuff.
It only took a year and a half. No.
Yeah. And even then, you know, you've just got the movements, you know.
Yeah.
Now it's a matter of learning what it is.
You were teaching the how many forms is that?
The old frame one.
Holy crap. I got the first, like, 5 minutes or whatever, and then after that went, boom. It's a blurry. And then you'll teach me stuff, and I'm going, okay, I remember that, but how does it fit in?
Yeah. I want to mention this also because I don't want to scare people into thinking, oh, my God, you know, the forms are, what, 74 forms? What? You know, and each form might not just be one move, so you're telling me that, you know, a whole form could be like upwards of 300 to 400 movements? What? You know, I don't want to scare listeners that have never done Tai Chi before. I don't want to scare them away from that because, you know, the forms themselves really are just a medium to practice the philosophy of Tai Chi. That's it. That's all. And also to provide the practitioner a means and a way to practice the Chun or the Wushu part of Tai Chi. So let me go ahead and backtrack a little bit so I can explain to the to the listeners what technically it is. So in a nutshell, listeners that have never done Tai Chi before, Tai Chi is a practice that they say originated from the Wudong Mountain area of in the Hebei province of China. The theories go that the practice of Tai Chi as a philosophy started in the Taoist monasteries in the Wudong Mountain area. Now, Taoism is generally defined as the study of the way the universe is. Okay. Now, a lot of people call it a religion. You know, I'm going to have to beg to differ, but if somebody's definition of religion is something that people follow, you know, in a group bigger than 100, then okay, people can call it a religion. But as far as following a deity, there is none. So, I just kind of want to make sure that the...
It sounds like to me it's more a philosophy, not a religion, because if you...
It is. It's a philosophy. It's the practice of the philosophy, of knowing and understanding the philosophy. You know, in a nutshell, Tai Chi is not the movements that we do. It's not like, you know, you go to a, you know, school and I'm going to do Tai Chi, you know, because that would be labeling the movements, the outward physical movements, with, you know, a noun, you know, calling it something. But Tai Chi itself is... Oh, how do I explain it without sounding like too esoteric? The Tai Chi as an art is based on the philosophy of the interaction of yin and yang. So we all know about the yin and yang, or yin and yang, right? You know, yin, yang, cold, you know, hot, you know, male, female, you know, that kind of thing. The opposites, right? But actually, you know, a lot of people, and everyone's seen the yin-yang symbol, right? You know, the two little fishes, the black fish with the white eye and the white fish with the black eye. People go, oh, it's a yin-yang symbol. Well, actually, that's not called a yin-yang symbol. The symbol, quote-unquote, is actually called Tai Chi 2. That's what it's called. And it's not really a symbol, but more like, you know, a way for our brains to get a two-dimensional representation of the philosophy of yin and yang. And so getting back to it, well, what is Tai Chi? Well, in order for us to really understand what Tai Chi is, we have to understand what its opposite is, because Tai Chi has its own opposite. You guys
there
ready
is?
For this? It's like, ooh.
Oh. Wait, there
ooh.
Is?
Yeah. No. There is the concept of Wu Qi.
Oh.
So, yeah. And I'm sure that you probably remember me mentioning that, right? So Wu Qi, if we were to translate it roughly to English, it would mean something like without ultimate or without an extremity or nothingness or, no opposing force or no opposition. So, that kind of a feel, void, nothing. Now, here's the thing, though, when we think of Wu Qi as being void, it's almost like, nothing is going on, but there's every possibility of everything going on.
But
that
not
make sense.
But in no form or no sequential.
But exactly. But in no form. There's the possibility of everything. But right now it's in no form. It's like, like almost complete stillness. But the possibility is there, right?
Got
now,
it.
Tai Chi translate as kind of like the grand ultimate or the grand extremity. Tai meaning the concepts like big or grandiose or huge or large, that kind of thing, right? And Qi being the essence of something in a way, right? So Tai Chi is grand ultimate. Wu Qi is without ultimate. Now, so let's go back to Wu Qi. You've got, Wu Qi, it's a kind of like a place or a state where everything is like one and uniform and undifferentiated, right? Or if we were to apply that to our body, we could look at that as, the point in space or the center of your body where, everything settles, right? So that's Wu Qi. Now, imagine just standing there completely still. Okay. Now, for our listeners, the first movement that we have is you're standing still. And I want all our listeners, if you're listening, try this. You're going to look kind of stupid if you're in front of the window. So, but try it anyway. Try this anyway, listeners, if you're listening, okay? Stand up. Get up off your butt, okay? And just stand with your feet together, shoulders relaxed, hands at your sides, right? You want the top of your head pointing at the sky and drop the shoulders, okay? Relax your butt. Just relax, okay? Just pretend you've been standing in line at the bank for like 10 minutes, but someone told you you have to stand with your feet together. That's kind of how relaxed you want to be, right? Like, oh, my God, I've been standing here forever, okay? Now, with your left foot, it doesn't really matter, but, for right now, with your left foot, slowly, like slow, slow motion, step out to the left. So your feet are about shoulders width apart. Now, just stand there. Put weight evenly on both feet and just stand there. Okay? Just stand. And try to stand as still as you can. That's the thing. No, looking around. Don't move your eyes. Don't move your fingers. Don't fidget in your shoes. Just stand very quietly, as still as you can. Now, when we start a Tai Chi form, that's standing very still. That's Wu Qi. Okay? Now, let's try this, listeners, and Lynn, if you happen to be standing there.
I'm
doing it. Your sides, right? Good. Your hands are at your sides. Now, gently, imagine that there are two strings attached to the tops of your wrist, and those strings are slowly being pulled up, and they're pulling your wrists up and your arms. So your arms want to raise up slowly, very slowly in front of you until they hit about shoulders width. Okay? Until they hit about shoulder height. Sorry. Then gently put them back down. Okay. So we got that movement. That's the opening movement of the form. But now, the easiest way for me to explain, you know, what Tai Chi is to have you guys do it again. So get your feet back together, folks. Feet back together. Now, slowly stand with your, now bring your left foot out. Slowly stand with your feet at shoulders width apart. Stand quietly. Now, just before you start to bring your arms up, okay? In fact, everyone just stand there. When I say arms up, slowly start to bring your arms up, okay? Arms up. Okay, now, the second that your mind sent that intention of starting the movement of arms up, boom, at that moment you became into a state of Tai Chi, where non-movement and movement start to blend together. Ah. Does it start to make sense?
Yeah.
It said that, yeah, you know, if you're standing there still, the second you start to move, that becomes the state of Tai Chi, where now yin and yang, yin being non-movement, yang movement, start to blend together. Now, here's the trick, though. That same intention of starting the movement wants to constantly be happening throughout the movement. From the beginning of the form to the end of the routine, your mind wants to be constantly aware of the movement. That's why we practice slowly. It's not necessarily because, oh, you know, old people can't move fast. It's not that at all. It's because we want our awareness to be in the movement, not focused on the outcome. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if we move fast, like if I, you know, do a quick jab, boom. You know, a lot of times our mind is so focused on the outcome. I'm going to punch, boom, and I'm going to hit the guy in the face. I'm going to knock him out, boom. But what's going on in between the second you say, I want to knock him out, and the second your fist hits? Chances are you're moving too fast, and your mind won't be able to know what's going on. You know, your mind isn't going to pick up on the fact that your elbow's flaring out or that, you know, you're off balance or whatever. You don't notice that. But if we slow down, it trains our awareness and our body to really keep with the motion, to keep with the movement as it happens, not after it happens, but as it happens. And that's Tai Chi, to always check in and feel that relationship between yin and yang, movement and non-movement. It's a wonderful thing, and you know, a lot of people tend to call Tai Chi moving meditation, because technically that's what meditation is. It's just a you know, an awareness, a type of awareness, quiet awareness. It just so happens that in Tai Chi we're moving, so that's about it. So, kind of in a way, in a nutshell, that's what Tai Chi is the practice of the philosophy of you know, how should we say,
being present.
Being present and knowing that yin and yang are always going to be in flux. You know, that's what Tai Chi is, the flux of yin and yang. If it's just yang, then it's just yang. If it's just yin, then it's just yin. It's not Tai Chi. You know, yin isn't, you know, Tai Chi. Yang isn't Tai Chi. Yin isn't, you know, Wuji either. Neither is yang. It's the interaction. Now, my teachers used to say that, Master Hong used to say, now, you must understand, and I'm just quoting her, Tai Chi is not Wuji. It's not yin yang, but it's in between them.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it sounded like a big riddle, you know. And it took years and years and years for me to realize that, you know, what that word meant, what that phrase meant. It's not Wuji, it's not yin-yang, but Tai Chi is between them. It's kind of, the idea that I got from it was that it's the force or the energy or the thing that makes the Wuji move into the yin and yang polarities. And, you know, in my head it makes sense, but it's so hard to explain. And, you know, the only thing I suggest to my students and for anyone that wants to practice Tai Chi is to practice it. Because, you know, to tell you the truth, the answer is in the practice. You know, I can stand here all day and go academic. You know, I can academically try to explain it, but the only way to really understand it is through the practice and you know,
the experience of it, yeah.
Exactly. And I can't say that enough. It's in the practice. Now, you know, there might be people out there that might wonder, you know, do I have to practice every day? No, you don't have to practice the form every day, but can you bring Tai Chi, you know, practice, not the form, but the practice of Tai Chi into your everyday life? Yes, you can.
Yep.
You can practice the you know, just the simple, you know, act of standing still, and then starting to move and to feel that connection between the intention of moving and the actual movement and moving into that state of Tai Chi, of yin and yang. And just being aware of that. That's practicing Tai Chi. You can do it sitting down. You know? In fact, I tell people all the time, okay, we're just sitting here, but the second I want to pick up that coffee cup, I'm you know, putting myself into the state of Tai Chi. And, you know, yeah, it's a simplified way to explain it, but in a way it is, you know, it is that simple. The hard part is getting the mind to continuously be aware of that as we're doing a routine. If there is the hard part, it's that, keeping track, because you know, as you know, and I'm sure, you know, Susan knows too, and anyone listening, you know that if you do something enough times, it becomes muscle memory, right?
Yeah. Is that you, Susan? Susan? Oh, sorry.
Oh. Now I'm unmuted.
Oh, that was you.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. You know, I'm getting confused on the board.
Oh yeah.
I muted you and trying to talk to Susan. I thought I was muting myself.
Oh.
It's that kind of a night, Sifu.
Well, I wonder if the listeners actually heard anything now.
Me saying, is that you, Susan? That's probably what they heard. Hold on.
Oh, okay.
Let me put her on live mic then. Susan, hi. Sorry.
Hi.
Where did Susan go?
I can't do... Well, no, she dropped out a while back, and then she got back on, and then I was trying to figure out a time in which to talk to her. But then again, it's like, okay, I want to listen to this.
Okay. Well, go ahead and bring her back on because I have to, let me bow out for about 5 or 10 minutes.
Okay.
So I can lock up. We just got done with class, so I want to make sure everything's cleaned up and I'm going to lock up and stuff and get in my car where it's quiet. And then we'll go from there. So if you can just mute my mic. And then, oh gosh, I just realized, how am I going to let you know that I want to be back on?
Well...
How about I just mute my phone?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, let me do that. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So I'm muting myself.
Okay, sounds good. Hey, Susan, going back to the reason why you actually took on Tai Chi, I have my different reasons. So it was mostly about your health, and you said that your blood pressure went down and something else that you were talking about.
Yeah, well, you know, I had astronomically high blood pressure, and my doctors had put me on pharmaceutical, you know, blood pressure medicine, which made me incredibly sick. And so, you know, I kept going back to the doctor like, you know, this medicine sucks.
Uh-huh.
And they would change it to a different one, and, you know, this medicine sucks too. And my doctor finally said, you know, I heard Tai Chi can help. And so I went to start practicing Tai Chi, knowing absolutely nothing about it. And I loved it, and I kept going. And I met some fantastic people, the other people that I practiced Tai Chi with. One of them turned me on to a naturopath that she had been seeing, and I started going to this naturopath. And, you know, between my Tai Chi practice and the natural direction in my medicine, I was able to completely get rid of those pharmaceutical drugs and control my blood pressure. And
nice.
Now, you know, I have normal blood pressure, and I can't say it's all Tai Chi because I was also using this natural medicine. But through this whole process, I found out that, you know, there's this fantastic group of people that I practice with. They're all really cool. They've been great friends to me. And this whole thing has really been a huge spiritual awakening for me. You know, I deal with these people. I've got this whole community. And I'm not a religious person, but I think that what I found in this practice is really like what a lot of people find in church. You know, I have a community. I have this spiritual connection. I have a great mentor, and, you know, Sifu is almost like a pastor. You know, she helps me understand what's going on in my life, and my practice, you know, it's been a huge life change for me. So, you know, I can't say enough fantastic things about it, but practicing Tai Chi and the natural medicine and this community of people all together has really, you know, solved my health problems.
Oh, wow. That's great. Well, see, for me, I didn't even think about health benefits when I got onto Tai Chi. Actually, I thought it would help me become a better massage therapist. And it took years until, about 2 years ago, when I basically took on a Tai Chi class with Sifu. And I noticed that my practice have gotten better. My stance while doing the massages are much lower. And I can hold positions a lot longer, and I'm not tired as much. And my back was actually, I knew it was going to help keep my back from acting out, but it actually gotten better. It doesn't act out as much, and I have learned because of the being present with yourself and connecting with yourself that I can actually sort of, I don't want to say fix, but I can definitely keep my pain down just by being present, knowing what my body can and cannot do, and what I can do to alleviate it, and so on and so forth. And sometimes I put myself on the brink of pain and then just breathe through it and think of nothing. And basically it's a Tai Chi move, and then move again, and then my body goes, oh, it wasn't as bad as it was before. So great. I'm not going to tense up whenever you do that. And so basically I teach my body that that movement is okay. And then by doing that with myself, I've started implementing that with my massages, in which I put my clients on the brink of pain, but they have to tell me that it's on the brink of pain. Unfortunately, there's some people who are not in touch or in tune with their body, that they wait until it's actually past the brink, and then they tell me I'm a bad massage therapist, when really it's kind of both. I'm a bad massage therapist because I'm not getting good feedback. So it goes both ways. And so when I have a good rapport with the client on the table, I can actually start reading them because they're giving me good feedback, not just by voice, but body language as well. You should see their face when they get in pain. Anyway, it's very entertaining. So once I start reading them, then I'm magical. I've had proposals on the table. It's like, yeah, you're lucky that, 74 passed, but I can't do that with my clients. No relationship, so.
But it sounds like your practicing Tai Chi while you do your massages?
Oh, heck, whenever I walk, I practice Tai Chi. It's really odd. I kind of... I'm hoping that no one's watching me walk, because when I walk, you know, that kind of walk in which if you can only see the top half of my body and not see my legs are moving, I look like I'm sliding.
Yeah.
That is how I try to walk on a daily basis. But at times I can't do that, because I'm too self-conscious. But when I really don't think what people think of what I look like, then I start doing that, and actually it helps with my back, it helps with my posture, and it also gives me a sense of self, not courage, but see, I'm losing words in my head now, but an awareness that I'm actually better than I am.
Yeah. It's interesting that, you know, I practice Tai Chi at odd times, like when I'm driving my car and I stop at the stoplight, and when I'm standing in the line at the grocery store. And I was meeting a friend for lunch recently, and I was standing out in front of this restaurant, and I totally forgot people would be, like, driving by looking at me. And it was time, and so I'm practicing Tai Chi on the sidewalk, right? And my friend came up finally and said, you know, you really shouldn't do that in public because you look like a crazy woman.
What are you doing, actually?
Oh, yeah, maybe I look like a crazy woman, but, you know, I'm all relaxed and comfy and ready to live the rest of my day. So it kind of made me aware that, okay, you know, maybe I shouldn't do this where other people can see that I look like a crazy woman, but it really makes me feel good. So maybe to be less concerned about what other people think and more concerned about just doing what makes me feel good.
I came into the middle of just hearing crazy woman. What did I miss?
We're talking about you.
I put the headset back on my head, like, crazy woman. I'm like, what's going on?
I was talking about her, so she heard that. No, I'm just kidding.
Talking about how I was doing Tai Chi on the sidewalk downtown, waiting for my friend to meet me.
Oh, somewhere. Yeah. Yeah, I remember you telling us that. That's funny. Oh,
my
gosh.
Friend came up and said, oh, my God, you look like a crazy woman. But, you know, I felt great. And I'm like, well, maybe being a crazy woman's not so bad.
Yeah.
Heck, I do standing meditation whenever I'm just standing in line, and then I kind of look at the times, like, okay, let's see how long I can stand this way, and it's really great. And plus I teach my clients to do that, especially when they're having back problems, that I want them to strengthen their legs and strengthen their core, and I have them stand not necessarily against the wall, but use the wall as a guide behind them. And I say, bend your knees. And then I watch them. If they move their torso forward, then I say, you're doing it wrong. If I say, bend your knees, it's only your knees that's bending, not your hips.
Well, see, but that's the thing, though, is that, you know, all beginners start like that. You see what I'm saying? And that's kind of like what I mean by little steps. You know, because, like, yeah, I'm just going to use you as an example because you're the newest student. And I'm not saying that you were like this, but I'm just going to use you as an example. You know, when I said, okay, stand, you know, it took weeks for until I said, okay, Lynn, you're standing good now, right? Right?
Yep.
But if I tried to correct everything all at once, then the Tai Chi, exactly. And then at that point, yin and yang, no one's going to give a darn about yin and yang at that point. You know? But yeah, you know, getting back to strengthening the legs and the core, you know, one thing that I do want to say is that, you know, Tai Chi, yeah, it will take effort. It does take effort. It's not, you know, when people say effortless.
It just looks that way. It's really.
It looks that way.
That's how it's supposed to look like.
Yeah, and it's the effort is getting it to that point because, you know, in a way, we have to learn how to walk again. when we do any type of new skill, in this case Tai Chi, it is learning how to walk again. In fact, one other concept that my teacher, Master Yi Jiao Hong, always reminds us of is that, you know, she says, you know, now it's time to go back to the prenatal chi. We start from prenatal. I got that backward. We have prenatal chi, the chi that's given, that's, you know, ours because of our mother when we're in the womb, right, by the food she eats, you know, and what we're surrounded by, you know, amniotic fluid and stuff like that. And then we're born. That's called postnatal chi, right? And my teacher used to say, you know, your postnatal chi is very natural when you are a child. And then you grow up, and then the, you know, influences as you grow up, the people you hang out with, the food you eat, you know, that kind of thing. And even as you get older, that determines, you know, your more of your postnatal chi, you know, in a way, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, she said when you practice Tai Chi, eventually you want that feeling of, like, almost being a child again, to come back to, you know, the awe and the wonder of discovering, oh, look, I can crawl, you know, and the awe and the wonder of, oh, look at that. If I grab onto this, I can stand up, you know, and the wonder of, oh, look, I can walk, you know, you and I'm sure Susan knows this. I'm sure, like, when Alex, I was going to give your kids names. I'm not going to do that. But when your kids were growing up, what happened after they learned to walk? They were everywhere, huh?
Oh, yeah.
They were walking
really
everywhere
fast.
Because really fast. Why? Because they know they could.
Yeah.
Right? And they're excited about it. And that, to me, is what Tai Chi is. You know, every time I do a forum, like with the class, there's always something that, in like maybe one move, that clicks a different way, and I go, oh, aha! But of course, I have to, like, you know, make it look cool and, you know, not stop in the middle of a form and jump up and down in joy, right? But there's always something I learn, and it brings me back to that excited wonder of you know, of finding that, you know, that finding that I can walk. But, you know, when we start Tai Chi classes, we have to learn to walk again. And, you know, hopefully during your classes, you know, with, you know, a good teacher, for anyone to have a good teacher, you will find that awe, you will find that wonder in every new move that you do. And you'll continue to learn from it, even though you're, you know, not with your teacher. And that's the neat thing, I think, about
that. That's
the most
exciting thing for me, is that I don't think I'll ever master this. There's always something more for me to learn. So I can go and be a student and discover new things every time I practice. And that whole sense of wonder and awe, it's like going back to a childhood. It's really exciting.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And, you know, and I'll have, like, martial arts people ask me, so, you know, what do you do? I tell people I'm a martial arts instructor. What do you do? You know, and I have to think, do I tell them everything that I do, or do I just tell them what I do? So I normally just say, oh, I'm a Tai Chi instructor. But depending on who I'm talking to, and this is funny, if I'm talking to, like, you know, some hardcore, you know, MMA person or something like that, or, you know, someone that does, like, hardcore karate, or, you know, and if they're relatively new to that art, they'll kind of look at me like, oh, Tai Chi. You know, they won't say anything bad about it, but, you know, you can tell. You can tell what they're thinking. Oh, you know, what did you blow out? You know, are your knees bad? You know? Yeah. And then I have to, like, then I have to go, well, you know, I did Koji Kembo for years and years and years. And then they go, oh, Koji Kembo. And then they just kind of think that it was the karate and the Koji Kembo and getting hit a lot and getting, you know, slammed a lot and thrown a lot. That's why I'm doing Tai Chi. And, you know, sometimes I just let it go and decide, well, I'm not going to explain why I do Tai Chi, you know, because at this point, you know, what's
the
point?
They'll find out when they can't kick or be kicked or be thrown. Yeah, they'll find out.
Exactly. You know, and Yeah, exactly. Now, do I find Tai Chi to be something that I enjoy doing every day, even with the injuries? Yes, definitely. And, you know, it unfortunately, it did take an injury for me to really take Tai Chi seriously. I injured my back back in 2001, took a bad fall, and had a lot of peripheral neuropathy because of it. I can't even say it. Peripheral neuropathy because of it. And it was because I did injure my spinal cord. I was freaking out. I thought I had, like, MS or something like that. I was freaking out. And even my neurologist didn't know what was going on because they took every test they could, and they couldn't find anything. There was no brain tumor. There wasn't, like, a tumor on my spine. There wasn't, you know. They even took spinal taps, everything. Everything came out fine, and they couldn't figure out what was going on. But the neurologist, you know, did have a theory. They said that I could have bruised my spinal cord, but because it was a month before I actually sought real medical help, that my spinal cord could have healed enough to where any anomalies did not show up on MRIs or x-rays or anything like that, but the damage had already been done. And during that time, and I was really bummed out about it too, because I was training to get on the United States Wushu team to compete in the World Championships in Malaysia at the time, and I was training hard. I was training like 8 hours a day because I wanted to go to Malaysia, and I injured my spine during that, and I had to stop training because my doctor said, you do that again, you're going to be in a wheelchair. And I said, oh, gosh. And so, like, my dreams of going to the World Championships, doing Tai Chi, not Wushu, not karate, not anything like that, but to do, you know, the World Championships, it would have been my second World Championships, but to do that World Championships, were dashed because that was going to be my, you know, retirement send-off. I was going to go compete, and no matter how I did, I was going to retire from competition. And I was so bummed. I was so bummed. But my master said, don't worry about it. You practice Tai Chi, and you can still do Wushu afterwards if you practice Tai Chi. Get serious about your Tai Chi. So I did. I got serious about it and really, really got into it. And really started to enjoy the practice, right? Because I did like it back then, and I loved the practice, but how do I explain it? It was different. It took me taking it seriously for me to value the practice, if that makes sense, right? You know, you can love the practice, but to value it, that's what it took, unfortunately. And I don't wish that on anyone. I hope that anyone that practices Tai Chi will value the practice for what it is, because it is a wonderful practice, not because of an injury. So don't go out and break your back, folks, to find the value of it. You don't need to. You don't need to injure yourself to really find the true value in it. It's there. It's just a matter of finding it. So...
have Bob on the other line, so let's
see.
Bob! Hello, Bob!
Hey, Sifu, you know, I ruined a perfectly, I thought it was live. Lynn came to talk to me, I thought I ruined a perfectly good joke on her. I heard Susan say she wanted to lower blood pressure, and I said, she went to Sifu anyway. Every time I talk to her, I raise my blood pressure a couple points. And we talk like 3-4 times a week.
So you're basically a glutton for punishment. That's what you are.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's hilarious.
And
oh my God.
And say, when am I going to say this?
Oh my God. See, this is what I'm about Bob. Okay, now for our listeners out there that don't know who Bob is, Sifu Robert Deal this dude on the other line. He is my co-host on the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show, and he is the most wonderful co-host because, he's funny, and he compliments my personality. So together on the show, I think, we make like
yin
a great team on the show. Yin and yang, that's right. You know, because it's like, he's funny, like hella funny. And, like, you know, if I try to be funny, it doesn't come out that way. It doesn't come out quite as funny, you know what I mean? But I like to have fun. I like listening to Bob is more like it. So, anyhow, how you doing, Bob?
I'm doing wonderful, Zeeva. How are you?
I'm awesome. I just got out of class, and now I'm driving, so if I, like, drop out, I'll call back. And I'm going to have to pump gas here in a little bit, so if you hear me swear because I look at the gas pump price, then just mute me. It'll be okay.
Don't
even talk to me about gas pump prices.
Oh, yeah,
you're in California. Oh, my God, dude. If the prices get up that high over here,
I'm walking
or like riding in the cold on my motorcycle. That's insane.
I want to see you with your swords and everything on that motorcycle. I want to see that actually.
Yeah, well, I do need to do something like that, and get Doug on it, and we should have a party. We should have a sword and motorcycle party. Okay, so the listeners don't need to hear about that. But
okay, no. delete, modify. Going back to the health benefits of Tai Chi.
Getting back to the health benefits.
So, Bob, do you also do Tai Chi or practice Tai Chi?
No, I'm one of those broken individuals, and people who know that.
So that means you need to do Tai Chi. So, it has a healing effect, actually.
It does. That's actually, I'm not calling just to give people a hard time, which I'm so good at. It's so easy to do.
And I love them anyway. This is what the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show is all about.
I'm full of one of which. My daughter hates me. My wife tolerates me. My dog can't stand me.
Wow, you sound like a country song waiting to happen.
Somebody needs
to write the music. And I do have a friend who writes music, but it's not country music, though.
It's funny.
But, Sifu, my question to you is that, I've got a herniated disc. My knees are going after, 100,000 round kicks. And, do you think it's really for me? I've been an external martial artist for 35 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'll say is this, is do I think that Tai Chi is good for everybody? Yes. Is it for everybody?
No.
And here's why. It depends on the reasons why someone wants to do Tai Chi. That's number one. And number two, it's also a matter of, does somebody want to be open enough to be able to look at, what their habits have been and to what they've been used to for, how long you've been doing martial arts, like 40 years, right? To be open-minded enough to be able to go, do I want to take a different look on how I've done things for the past 40 years? And for some people, that's tough to do. I'm not saying that that's wrong or anything like that. I'm pumping gas right now, so if you hear any weird noises or whatever, that's just me.
Yeah, like people going in flames. Okay.
Yeah. And you screaming, "Oh crap! I gotta
call
911!" Yeah. It depends on you. Now, if you want to use Tai Chi as a way of keeping in shape and keeping a sense of being still able to move and to be able to take the movements of Tai Chi and apply it to what you already know in a martial art realm. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later about Tai Chi as a martial art. Then Tai Chi would be for you because Bob, I know you. I know you can look at movement and apply it to Jeet Kune Do, to apply it to Kali, Anyis, Eskrima, to apply it to, you know, anything else that you know. I know you can do that. And what guest do I want? 369, booyah!
Boy, I was like, wow, what does guest have to do with Tai Chi?
Oh, sorry. I had to make that decision. Do I want the 369 guest or the $4 guest? But yeah.
I go for the less than $4.
Okay, so seriously, back to serious. So, you know, Robert, if you want to keep moving, so that way you still can do Wing Chun later, I would suggest Tai Chi. Now, some people would suggest yoga. Now, I'm not a yoga instructor, but, you know, even then it would depend on what the type of yoga. And even then, yoga is not for everybody because, you know, yoga is a different kind of movement. I myself like dynamic movement because I've been doing martial arts all my life. I like being able to move and to have a purpose for moving, you know?
Yes.
And, you know, really that's what martial arts is to have a purpose for moving. What's the purpose? To not get hit in the head, you know? To not, you know, combat, you know, that kind of thing. The purpose of martial arts is for combat. And, you know, there's a dynamic to that. And there's a purpose for that movement. So I'm used to dynamic movement, and that's what Tai Chi is. Now, people don't necessarily have to think of the movement dynamics as being martial art. You can still practice Tai Chi as a movement, and you know, knowing, you know, between yin and yang and the relationship between the two and how it moves, you can still, you know, fancy the dynamics that way. But for you, Bob, you know, it's hard to say. I guess, you know, it depends on you know, what you're looking for Tai Chi to be for you. You know, does that make sense? You know, do you want it to be something that you can relate to martial art, which it can, or, you know, do you want it to be, you know, something on the back burner that you can do all the time as a great means of exercise? Or what have you. And did I just, oh gosh, hold on a sec, you guys, hold on.
Hold
on a sec.
Does that mean you're going to start Tai Chi sometime soon?
Hold on a sec. All right, I'm sorry about that. I'm gonna give the listeners a really funny laugh. I just seat belted my headset to myself.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to picture that.
I've got the cord hanging down, right? I got the cord hanging down, and then, you know, the phone up on the holder on the windshield, right? Well, I went to go put on my seatbelt, and I seatbelted over the cord. So when I went to go like move my head, it ripped the headset right off of my head.
Oh, okay, I see.
Wow.
Yeah. That was not Tai Chi, folks. Because
exactly.
I was not paying attention to every movement. Oh, God, is Susan still there? Is she just going, God, Sifu's on crack.
Yes!
Sifu's on crack.
Sifu's been smelling gas for the meat.
I'll blame it on that. I'll blame it on the gas fumes. Yeah.
Anyhow,
we'll go
with that one.
We'll go with that one. Everyone just nod and everyone just nod and say yeah. So Bob, you know, that would be my advice. Is first you want to figure out, you know what you would like Tai Chi to be for you, because you know any good instructor can mold the art to you. It's not going to be where you're going to have to mold the art yourself to the art. We've done that for 40 years, bro. We've molded ourselves to you know, get into the concept of the art that we do. That's why we're hurt.
Yeah,
your knees are out. You know, that's why my back is out. That's why my knees are gone. you know, and, you know, I'm not saying that the other arts that we did were bad. No, that was our choice. That was our choice to mold, to do the art, to mold ourselves to do the art the way we wanted to do it. And I want to make sure the audience knows that, that was me and Bob's choice to train the way we did, to hit hard, to get hit, to be thrown, to throw, you know, to break our knuckles, to break our hand, to break our, you know, that was our choice. And we don't regret any of that. However.
Yeah, don't tell that to my back.
Exactly. Yeah. However, you know, we're not 18 anymore. We're not 20. You know, we're getting, I almost said how old we are. We are getting up there.
Older.
We're older. We'll just say that. We're all older now. And, you know, I've seen too many people not be able to walk when they're in their 60s. I've seen too many people, you know, get to the point where they have to have, you know, those pins in their back, or the scoliosis that gets too bad, or, you know, what's the name of that disorder where the top of your back starts to bow over, you know, the Dowager's hump, that kind of thing. I've seen too many people not, you know, a comfortable quality of life because of basically doing what we've done for 40, 50 years. And, you know, that's another reason why I do what I do, and that I encourage other people to do what I do, because, I want to, you know, see people continue to do what they're used to doing. I still want to be able to kick. I mean, granted, nowadays I can't kick as high anymore because of my back, but I can still kick, and I can still kick fast. And, you know, for the most part, I attribute that to Tai Chi, because you learn a different, dynamic of movement. You look at the way you move a little bit differently. You look at how you learned your techniques a little bit differently. Not that, you know, and I want to put this, I want to make this clear that I'm not saying that the way that we learned a roundhouse kick is wrong. No, it's not. That's doing a roundhouse kick the way you were taught, that's the right way, folks, you know, if you're a martial artist. But when you practice Tai Chi, because you're moving so slowly, you're paying attention to how your body links the different muscles and the sinews and the bones to make the movement happen. And you learn to pay attention to how, you know, relaxed, where to relax and where to tense to not cause you injury. And because of that, you know, coupled with the fact that you're being relaxed, not only can you still kick fast, but you can kick without injuring yourself up until your 70s or 80s or, you know, your 90s. I mean, you know, people like the Taekwondo master, Jun Ri.
Yeah.
You know Jun Ri, yeah, right? Is he still around? He's,
yeah.
I mean, he's like, yeah, he's what, almost 100 now? 90-something or 80? I forgot how old he is, but, you know, Jun Ri can still do one-arm push-ups.
Oh, wow.
One-arm push-ups. And, you know, and he attributes that to, and I don't remember if he does Tai Chi, but I know he does work out to the ability that he's able to do, you know, at his age. And he hasn't stopped. And he hasn't, you know, said, I'm too old for this or I'm too old for that. And, like, he's almost, like, 100, and he can still do 100 push-ups, one-arm push-ups, and he's still built like a tank. And it's incredible. And when I've been to China, I see 100-year-old people doing Tai Chi, and you think, oh, well, you know, that's as far as they can move. But then I've seen people go, oh, you punch me, and you try to punch him, and all of a sudden you're on the floor, and you wonder, how the hell did I get here? You know, and they're 100 years old. And, you know, that's why I say do Tai Chi. You know, if I were to, you know, say, Bob, you need to do Tai Chi. Yeah, I would say it, Bob, you need to do Tai Chi. Because it'll allow you to be able to still do Wing Chun and Eskrima and Muay Thai and all the stuff that you do. because you'll be able to apply it to all those, and vice versa. Because Tai Chi is martial art, and that's essentially where I wanted to go with this conversation. That it's all not, you know, I mean, it is chi and you know, finding where you are in the universe and you know, and being one with yourself and all of those wonderful benefits. It is that. But, you know, first and foremost, its roots that the form come from martial art. It does come from the wushu from China. Yeah, eventually that's kind of where I kind of wanted to talk about. So, but if there are any other questions from the callers, let's talk about it.
Well, Sifu, my theory is, because you know me, I mean, a year ago we touched hands. We went from pushing hands. Your students would love this. We went from pushing hands to Chi Sao to adding Gun Ting.
To Wing Chun, yeah. To Eskrima, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
I can't go to a... Now, I don't mean to offend anybody that teaches the Parks and Rec. She teaches great, great stuff, but I can't go to just somebody to learn a form. I need
right.
to go to somebody like Sifu Totten that does combative, because you know me, I'm going to be pulling this stuff apart and
exactly.
finding out where the applications are, and that's what I need as well as the health benefits. Figure out the martial application or be taught the martial application of the Tai Chi, but my
mm-hmm.
biggest thing is, am I going to be able to empty my cup that much?
Yeah, and then that's kind of why I mentioned earlier that, you know, it depends on what you want Tai Chi to be to you. If you want Tai Chi to be a means to help you understand your own arts better, then by all means, go to Sifu Carl Totten and learn Tai Chi from him, because he is a wonderful external martial artist as well as an incredible, incredible internal artist. And if there's anyone that knows how, in your area, that knows how to apply both, to apply Tai Chi as, you know, the esoteric practice and the martial art, it would be Sifu Totten. And I would say, go run to him. Don't walk, run. Run to him and learn. Because you know, you've been doing martial arts for so long. I know you can pick out the movements of the form. Because you know what? You know, I'm going to say this to the listeners, too. You know what? The form is just that, a form. That's all it is. The only thing that's different between a Tai Chi form and, like, let's say, a Wushu form or a Kung Fu form, or a Kajikembo form, or a Taekwondo form, is the speed that we do it. That's it. Now, I've told people, you know, you want to get a feeling of what Tai Chi is, then practice your form slowly. Practice it like a slug. Now, I've gotten some flack from a couple of, you know, Tai Chi practitioners that say, well, that's not Tai Chi, you know, and you know, yeah, you know, the movements that they're doing aren't Tai Chi. I can see that. But, you know, but as far as getting a feel for, you know, what the differences are between the forms, between an external form and, you know, a Tai Chi form, to get a feel for the difference, you know, to see just the speed difference, that's why I say, take your Taekwondo form and do it slow. Can you do it slow? It takes a lot of concentration, doesn't it? Takes a lot of body control. Well, hello, that's why we practice. That's one of the reasons we Tai Chi. Not all, but one. And, you know, so, like, you know, if you were to take, you know, I don't know, like, if you were to break down, like, a Eskrima form or something like that, do it slowly with the stick and put your awareness to the end of the stick with every movement. Not just, you know, at the end of the wittick or at the end of the lobtick or whatever, you know, but to really focus on the motion coming from the ground all the way through to the end of your stick. Then you're doing Tai Chi. You know, if you want to put a knife in your hand, Bob, and just do some carenza and do some, you know, free flow and just concentrate on the movement coming from the floor and going out to the end of your knife, then you're doing Tai Chi, Bob. you know, as far as the practice of it. Now, the form, that's just something different. You would just need to find a good teacher to teach you the form. And even then, I would just say go to Carl Totten because show you the stuff that Tai Chi, the focal points of Tai Chi combat. And you'll find, Bob, that it's so similar to the centerline concepts of Wing Chun. A lot of the shuai or the throwing concepts of Tai Chi are so similar to what you would find in Kali, Silat, and Arnis. And after a while, Bob, you'll realize, oh, my God, this everything's the same. Everything's the same. Everything's one big martial art. The only thing that's different is how it's practiced. That's it. You know, but only but you would understand it because you've been doing martial arts for so long. I can't really explain that to someone that's been doing martial arts for only, like, let's say 2 years.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but I want to bring up, it was so funny because I started off the conversation with, I've been doing it 30, 35 years. And Steve started off with 40 years. And next thing I know, I've been doing it 50 years.
It's kind of like me thinking that you're old, that much older than me. Yeah, but no, I mean, it has been like 40 years for you for martial arts, right? Yeah. So.
But I'm only 25. How can that be?
Oh, you mean 52? Oh, sorry.
Lynn, do you know the story as to why there is an inside joke between me and Bob as to why there's an age joke that he will never let me live down for as long as we're both alive. Do you know the joke? Have you heard the joke? Tell her the situation, because I've already resigned myself to knowing that I can't live this down.
You never will. Well, Rusty was staying with me for about 5 days before we went to the Masters Hall of Fame, and she looked me right in the eye. We were talking about age, and she said, "What are you, 10 years older than me?" I'm 2 years older than she is. I'm
not
better off
for life. Oh, dude. Dude, I'm so sorry. And I'm going to say this every time he tells the story. But, you know, I'll have him tell the story because, you know, it's my way of, like, just trying to, like, you know, get rid of the embarrassment. You know, I figure if he tells the story enough times, I'm giving a tithing toward the I'm sorry. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I'm having
funny.
I'm going to have him tell it until we're both going, huh? What did you say?
I
don't remember that.
So we're both having hearing aids and having to turn it up every time we tell the story. Absolutely.
Yeah. And who are you again? Yeah. Well, that's how long I'm going to have him tell the story. But,
it was funny. You know, her and I was doing an interview. Either she was doing the interview or I was doing the interview on Modern Combat Masters. And I said, at that point, we'd only known each other about a year. And Steve Bluresti said, yeah, but we've done 5 years worth of stuff.
Yeah.
And we really
have. We really have. I mean, just in that five days. It was like a little more than a week, right? That I stayed at his house waiting for Masters Hall of Fame to happen. And we just hung out, worked out a bit, and just kind of learned about each other and talked shop and just sat for like hours and hours and hours at a time and talking shop and, you know, just doing things, you know, like we would go and see museums and just hang out and eat and just, you know, and just be. And, you know, it has been like 5 years worth of stuff. it was awesome. It was an awesome week I had there.
It was great. We spent the time, we spent like 4 or 5 days together up in 29 Palms last year.
Yeah, it was great. And, you know, and if you ever come up here, you know, me and Lynn, we will show you another 5 years of great stuff up here in the Northwest. We will, because we've got... so much stuff up here that we want to show people that have never been to Seattle.
Oh, every time they come
every
here,
every time.
For the
food,
the Indian food.
Definitely.
It's always food.
Yeah. It's always food and the sights. You know, that's the only time we get to be tourists is when people come out. So you need to come up. let's get back to Tai Chi.
So now that we're back, basically on the 34 minutes left on the show. You were saying something about the martial aspects of it. You touched on it by talking or answering Bob's question of the fact that, you know, you can tear it apart using it and basically make your art even better by Tai Chi. So,
right. And
you have told us once before and several times also in class when I was taking Tai Chi class, where it actually come from, especially the fact that I was learning Chen style.
You bet. Chen style, since we're talking about Chen style, Chen style is considered to be the mother style to the other styles. Now, there's like so many theories as to how Tai Chi itself as a martial art had come into being, but to put it in a nutshell, in Chenjiago, in Chen Village in China, there had been a system of martial art that was brought to the village that they were practicing, and it inherently was called Pao Tui, or the cannon fist, and it's a fast routine, right? And the beginnings of Pao Tui actually come from what we now know as Kung Fu. So, you know, for us to say that Pao Tui was a form of Kung Fu would be correct. Now, from Pao Tui came the other forms of Tai Chi. Now, how did these, you know, seemingly fast forms and stuff like that migrate into Tai Chi? Well, you know, legend goes that a student came to, you know, Chen Village and learned the Chen Village art, the Chen Village type of wushu, and said, oh, wow, you know, I really want to practice this and teach my own students to have a, to be aware of the internal aspects and of the Taoist aspects of the yin and yang and how it applies to these movements, hence Tai Chi. So, you know, the term Tai Chi for the interaction of the yin and yang became sort of the name for the practice, the physical practice. Okay, so everyone follows me so far, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, from there, I'm not going to get into, you know, how Chen style evolved into the forms and stuff because, you know, that can be a completely different show. So because of the background of the cannon fist form, you know, all the movements that have come from Chen style, the Wu style of Tai Chi, Sun style, Yang style, and, you know, all the other styles and sub-styles, all the movements have an inherent martial flavor to them. So, like, even movements such as Yang style, snake creeps down, that's a throw. It can be applied as a fireman carry throw. It's a very beautiful movement, you know, once you see it done. But it's a throw. You see this movement that we would call in, you know, in Yang style, separate with left foot, separate with right foot. Those are kicks. You're blocking a strike and kicking to the midsection.
Hmm.
A needle to the bottom of the sea. That's another great movement that can be applied as an arm bar or a wrist throw or a Bob would know as a Puter Kapala, which is a turning head throw. So, you know, a lot of the movements that we have in Tai Chi, as beautiful as they're performed, the movements do come from martial movement. And because of that, it's easy though to only see the slow movement, right? So, you know, like Bob was talking on another radio show that he had seen someone teaching YMCA Tai Chi, and it was pretty much just form, right? And, you know, to look at the form, you really don't see the martial aspect of it because that's all you see is the form, right? But, you know, when you watch someone that has learned Tai Chi as the complete art, not only the internal aspects, but also how to apply the applications, you can feel you can almost feel the dynamic martial sense to the movement, even though you see the slow elegance of it. But many times people don't see that. You know, I don't want to make it sound like only trained eyes can tell if someone has a full grasp of the full art of Tai Chi. I don't want to make it seem like that, but you know, you can tell. Even novices in Tai Chi can sense that, you know, someone has probably done a martial art prior. You know, because I remember I forgot what seminar it was. I went to some seminar, and during break, I was outside doing some Tai Chi practice, and somebody came up to me and said, "Wow, do you do something else?" And I said, "Yeah, why do you ask?" "Well, you know, your movements, you know, they look so, you know, pretty elegant, but there's, you know, there's something different about it. Like, you know, your movement looks like you've done, like, I don't know, karate or some other martial art before." And I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, I have. I've done Kajikembo, I've done Muay Thai Kendo, I've done karate, I do eskrima and stuff like that." And they're like, "Oh, so it was easier to learn Tai Chi with martial arts experience." And I said, "No, actually, the martial arts experience made me learn it a little bit, to make me learn real Tai Chi a little bit slower." And he goes, "Well, why is that?" And I said, "Because I had like 30 years of habit that I had to undo to really understand what Tai Chi was all about." And, well, then they walked away going, "What the hell was she just talking about?" So it's hard to explain, but when you do Tai Chi slowly, and you understand the body mechanics that are employed in doing Tai Chi, it starts to make martial application make more sense, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Tai Chi, when it's taught as a martial art, will teach you, you know, major aspects. It'll teach you not only the form, number one, you will learn how to stand first. That's first and foremost. That's what you're going to learn in any martial art. You have to learn how to stand. In external martial arts, we would call that stance. You need to learn how to be in a strong stance, right? Like horse stance that karate people would know, right? Mm-hmm. We would call, you know, wuji or dantong in Tai Chi, or standing post. So you need to learn how to stand. You need to learn how to breathe. That's a big thing that people forget, even in external martial arts, how to breathe correctly. You need to learn to relax. Okay, now those all go together: stand, breathe, relax. That's all what we do in meditation. And that's what, you know, the first thing that you learned, Lynn, was how to stand and be still and breathe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Next is movement, you know, how to take that sense of stillness and how to keep that while you're moving, right? So we practice walking.
Walk faster, and it was like I was sweating.
Exactly. And then we couple the stance with the upper body. Okay, in Tai Chi we say the upper and lower body must move in unison. So that's when you learn the form, right? Now, once you understand how to keep your stillness in your and your breathing with the movement and your awareness in the movement, the meditation and motion type thing, you also practice your application arts. Push hands, for example, is one of the main exercises that we use in Tai Chi to practice basically Tai Chi with a partner. There's a wonderful book out that is written by, I have to rack my brain for the Sifu's name. Wonderful practitioner. He's been practicing Tai Chi for decades and decades. And he's got a wonderful book out called Tai Chi for Two. And it's a wonderful introduction to push hands. And when the show's over, I'll make sure to look up the book and post
yeah,
it
and
on
post
your
it,
page.
Yeah,
yeah, because I've known about this gentleman that teaches Tai Chi forever, and the name isn't coming to me for some reason. It's going to drive me insane. But anyhow, I'll post that link up on your group page. But anyway, Tai Chi for Two, check it out. It's a great book that is a wonderful introduction to push hands. But push hands allows you, with a partner, to apply what you've already known in the form with a partner, okay? Because it's one thing to do form. Tai Chi as a martial art involves being able to have function to the form, right? Otherwise, you're just, you know, moving your hands up and down in the air. Basically, it's like, you know, puppet type of movement. The movement will be empty, you know, unless, number one, your mind is with it. Okay, and if your mind is with the form, then you've got a solid form. But if you're learning it as a martial art, if all you know is form, but cannot apply the same concepts of rooting, breathing, relaxed movement, and being sensitive to the other person's movement, then you don't have the martial art
mm-hmm.
aspect of it. So that's what push hands is for. Basically, you know, it's just a matter of being able to feel for not only yourself keeping rooted, breathing, proper posture, right, mm-hmm. and proper peng, a concept that we say in Tai Chi is being in a sense of expansion, to not collapse under your own weight or to collapse under the force of another, but to keep, like, expanded, to keep that with a partner. Because, you know, even the act of, at least what I found when I teach beginners is, you know, the act of being in front of a person and touching another person is enough of a distraction to detract you from your rooting and your breathing and your posture. It's a big distraction.
Actually, it's almost like when I was learning massage, because I was so right-handed, I was focused on my right hand, and my teacher went next to our area and says, "Lynn, where's your left hand?" And it was close to my my client's breast tissue, which was actually a classmate. She didn't know where my left hand was either.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So I had to be now conscious of where everything is, and actually Tai Chi has helped me to be more body aware, where my foot is, left foot is, where my knee is, where my elbow is. I mean, you've seen me do my massages. I even look like I'm doing some martial arts chop on somebody's back when I'm doing
right.
my massages.
Well, you know, and I'm going to come off the martial art thing here just for just a second, because I want to reiterate on what you just said. You know, being one of your clients for long enough to be able to experience massage from you before you took Tai Chi and after you took Tai Chi.
Ooh, okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And you know, I'm going to tell the listeners this because it does apply to practice and even to martial art. You know, because I've been, there's a cop in the parking lot. And he's shining his light all over the place. And I was like, what is that? Because there's this light shining all over the place. And he managed to, like, pan his light toward my car. And I'm actually parked next to your car.
Oh,
I'm outside.
You're out there. Okay.
Yeah, I figured after the show maybe we can get something to eat because I'm starving.
Okay,
but anyway, back to what we're saying is, so, you know, listeners, you know, if you're still listening and, you know, decided not to hang up because me and Bob were joking around too much, you know, being a client of Lynn's from before and after she started taking Tai Chi, you know, Lynn's massages were, you know, a number one to begin with, first and foremost. Okay, and I've been under the hands of many massage therapists, and Lynn, I can't say enough good things about her because you know how you were taught, Lynn, and how you express yourself through your massage and your method that you found works for you works wonderfully.
Oh,
it
good.
Works wonderfully. And then I noticed, like, not even like 2 months after you started taking lessons from me and coming back to you. To get my tune-ups, I did notice, I have noticed just a very slight, you know, just enough to where I could tell that what you'd been doing in class was being applied outwardly, out to your hands. I could feel the movement start from the floor coming out through your hands and guiding to where you wanted, you know, that particular technique or method to go, you know. And then, of course, I get distracted because then you hit something that would hurt. And then I go, ow! And then,
and then I have to back off.
And then you have to back off. But I'm sure you might have noticed, though, that now getting that reaction, well, at least from me, because I'm sure, you know, you've got clients that don't make that kind of noise, but getting that kind of reaction from me takes, you know, 80% less effort, right? And to you, it might be like, I hardly touched you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? I hardly touched you. Why are you yelling? Take it from me. You know, the same amount of force that you would have put before, you know, you took Tai Chi, I could see it coming. Right?
Okay.
See what I'm saying? Because it was telegraphed, and I could prepare myself for it and go, oh, okay. Right? But... you know, and it's the same thing goes with Tai Chi, right? In the same way that you would say, well, what are you talking about? I hardly touched you, right? The same thing applies when you learn to strike the way Tai Chi people do. When you hit, it feels like nothing. It feels like, oh, my God, I'm moving like a slug. I'm moving really slow. I hardly touched you, but the effect is felt inside.
Okay.
The opponent. Not like, because, you know, like when you punch someone and you break their nose or something, they feel it, you know, that kind of thing. Or you punch someone in the stomach, they go, oh, God, that hurts, right? But get hit by a Tai Chi person, someone that really, really, that has really practiced internal striking, you might not feel like an outward pain, but my goodness, the inside, the shock is incredible. You know, it's kind of like, you know, force traveling through water, because that's what we are, right? We're water. And a Tai Chi person, when they do an internal strike, it will harm on the inside. It'll harm on the inside, not necessarily break on the outside, right? And it's an internal injury, basically, if you ever get hit by a Tai Chi person. And it's nothing to mess around with. And, you know, for Tai Chi players to study the martial art aspect of Tai Chi Chuan, it's incredible because you do learn, you know, the what we would call Ti Da Shui, you know, the kicking, the punching, and the throwing. Without that, then you haven't learned Tai Chi fighting. You have to know all that. And then, of course, we have, you know, the weapons. Also, you also learn how to use the weapons in Tai Chi. But getting back to the comparison, you know, you said I hardly touched you. But that's because you were using proper body mechanics now. Not that you weren't doing it, you know, right before. You were doing it right.
Yeah.
You were doing it right before, but now you're being aware of it.
Yep.
And better able to guide the already good practice, right? So, you know, your hands, you know, they're on my back, and then blam! And then I yell, and you go, what? I didn't do anything. Yes, you did. You cause an effect, maximum effect, minimum effort. And that is Tai Chi as a martial art. And one of the ways we get that skill is through push hands. Another way we get the skill to be able to have the stamina to to fight at a real world level, because, you know, the biggest joke I get is, oh, so you can use Tai Chi for fighting? Is that only for people that attack you slow?
No.
What, no rim shot? Okay.
Oh, I forgot to do that. Sorry. I am slow tonight. I am slow tonight. Oh.
Not bad. I am too, because I'm starving. But in order to get that kind of stamina, you practice your form faster and faster and faster until you can do it at what we would consider real world speed. And in Chen style, we would call that cannon fist, old frame two. And my Chen style students now, a couple of them have gotten all of old frame two, and they're feeling the effects. They're like, wow, that's a workout. And I go, yeah. Now imagine when you practice this and keep your Tai Chi principles, you'll be able to get through that whole form and only be and to not be as out of breath as you are now.
Got it. Yeah.
And that's how it goes. Now, you know, do people, when they learn Tai Chi, do they have to learn it as a martial art? No. No, of course not. You know, Tai Chi's good for everyone, right? Like I said, mm-hmm. It's good for everyone, but is it for everyone? No. It's good for everyone, but you don't have to practice it as a martial art. You can just practice it as art. You know, you're a self-art. You can just practice it that way.
And then that's what I'm doing right now, but not as often as I used to.
Mm-hmm. And it's still Tai Chi. I mean, Tai Chi is, we have to remember that Tai Chi is is not what we practice. It's the theory that matters. And you know, and there will be some Tai Chi players out there that will give me flack for that. They'll say, well, it's not Tai Chi unless you know the form and you know the fighting. And, you know, that's fine. I'm willing to take that flack. But I'm also a believer, not only am I a believer that, you know, full Tai Chi, full-on Tai Chi should be both internal and martial, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a full believer that you don't have to practice it as a martial art for it to have benefits. Now, and that's because, you know, so many studies over the past few decades about Tai Chi have made leaps and bounds as for the benefits of Tai Chi. Number one, it's been proven that it's been that it's great for people with high blood pressure and heart disease.
Oh yeah, right? Even they're saying on stuff that I've looked into, basically shingles also.
Yeah.
Although we don't, you know, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and we've already had Susan attest to that it lowers your blood pressure.
Yep.
It can also, studies have also shown that Qigong, which is a part of Tai Chi, Qigong meaning breathing work. Okay, we'll get into that hopefully in a little bit here. I wanted to talk more about Qigong, but we'll get into that.
Just letting you know, we have about 11 minutes on the
show. Okay, I'll go quick. I almost lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right. High blood pressure, Susan's already attested to that. It can also improve your quality of breath. So it's being used in some places as a treatment for COPD. I've had a student that had emphysema and found it hard to even, you know, walk from the lobby area to the training floor. He would be so out of breath. And we started him slowly. And, you know, pretty soon, you know, bless his soul, Mr. Mignona was a wonderful guy. We started him slowly. And after a while, he, you know, after just a couple months, he started being able to stay on his feet and practice with a few of the movements. And he practiced his Qigong exercises that I gave him at home religiously. And he went to a doctor, and he took a breathing test, and his lung capacity increased by 40%.
Cool.
Yeah, and I was like, whoa, hey, you know, success story. Wonderful. Unfortunately, the emphysema took him before, you know, we could, improve him. but, you know, just to see that. Stress relief, it's Qigong and Tai Chi is also being used as a activity for kids and teens with ADD, ADHD, and even with adults with ADD and ADHD. It's been a there's also been studies that you can find on by Googling them that Tai Chi is being a wonderful, wonderful treatment and therapy for people with fibromyalgia.
Mm-hmm. I have here on in front of me, actually, when I did some Googling, from the Harvard Medical School, they have a public health publication that they put on. They have basically listed just a couple of them, combined, of course, with standard treatment, but Tai Chi appeared to be helpful for several medical conditions like arthritis, low bone density, breast cancer, heart disease, heart failure, hypertension, that's high blood pressure, Parkinson's disease, sleep problems, and stroke.
Yes, I have a old classmate that has Parkinson's, and I don't remember if he does take medication, but I remember that, you know, when he does Tai Chi, you don't see the tremors. You don't. You know, but then, you know, if he's just casually talking to you, you can, you know, you'd be able to guess that he's got Parkinson's, right? But when he does Tai Chi, it's the most elegant thing ever. No tremors, nothing. Absolutely still. And, you know, and I used to ask myself, how is that possible? You know? And, you know, after, you know, all this study, I attribute it to, you know, the mind really being one with the body and the relaxing through the movement and stuff. Qigong also, coupled with Tai Chi, has also been, I've heard, a great therapy for people with Tourette's because it allows them to slow down and focus a little bit more and to recognize when, you know, something is going to happen, you know, like an outburst or something like that. It's amazing. You know, I had a student also that had Tourette's, and just the movement and me reminding him, you know, Dan, you know, breathe with it. It, you know, before class, it was like, you know, everything Tourette's, and then during class, nothing. Absolutely nothing. So, you know, the benefits of Tai Chi, folks, is amazing. Just Google them. You know, I can talk all night about the benefits of Tai Chi. But for the most part, though, Qigong, we'll get into this real quick because I know we have 5 minutes now. Qigong is, like I say, it's a practice that's within Tai Chi. It's breathing, being aware of your breathing and getting a better quality of breath. And there's still Qigong where you're just standing there and you're just concentrating on your breathing and just being. And then there's moving Qigong where you're standing and moving the upper body or just the lower body. And then there's dynamic Qigong, which is where Tai Chi falls in, right? So in a way, all Tai Chi is Qigong, but not necessarily all forms of Qigong are Tai Chi. So when you practice Tai Chi, you're getting the benefits of the breathing with the movement, but you're also getting the benefits of the dynamics of the, you know, movement in space instead of, like, you know, in one place, and the meditation benefits. And for those of you that want to get into the martial art benefits. So, yeah.
And another thing, if people do not want to make the commitment of going to a class, although I must say you have a nice way of introducing people gently to Tai Chi by offering them free classes until if they, you know, to know if it's something that they want to do or not.
Exactly.
And then there's also, by the way, this year, April 27th is the next global event that they called World Tai Chi and Qigong Day. Yeah, and you can probably just go on Facebook and look for events near you, wherever you are, and most likely it's going to happen in a large space park And I think it was like 3 years ago when I did that with you, and we did it at Lincoln Park in West Seattle.
Yeah, I do suggest that anyone that wants to be introduced to Tai Chi, but, you know, but don't know what to expect or whatever, do Google for World Tai Chi Qigong Day in your area and check it out, because, you know, all of the events will welcome anyone, even people that just come walking in and off the street and stuff like that, because the whole purpose of World Tai Chi Qigong Day is to bring a sense of awareness to not only, you know, one's body and one's mind and, you know, one's soul, spirit, however, you know, people want to call it, but it's also a way of bringing people together, just to take an hour out of your day to go someplace and be with other people doing the same thing, build a sense of community. That's a, one of the, that's, you know, the main reasons why Bill Douglas, the founder of World Tai Chi Qigong Day, made this happen. A sense of global community. And the neat thing is that happens all over the world. At 10 a.m. every year, they say the wave of chi travels around the world. And it's incredible. So go check it out, folks. World Tai Chi Qigong Day.
And it's totally different doing Tai Chi or Qigong by yourself in comparison to a bigger group. And the bigger group is actually you feel the sense of energy in that huge group, and it feeds you. And it's just the most awesome feeling, I guess, because you don't feel as tired if you did it by yourself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, and it's wonderful because it's like, you know, like Lynn says, it's I can't explain it either. I mean, I'm just going to tell this real quick. The most powerful group Tai Chi feeling I ever got was when I went to Hainan Island in China, and I did Tai Chi with, no joke, 10,000 other people.
Whoa.
No joke. It was the island pretty much closed down for this event. It was the first World Health Tai Chi Conference, and people from all over the world came. There was more than 10,000 people there. And at whatever time it was, I think it was 11 a.m., they managed to get everybody out there, everybody from their respective clubs from all over the world, 10,000 people, and we all did Yang Style 24 form four times, to a set of music that was specifically made for this event. And, oh, my goodness, it was the most powerful thing ever. And that made me want to go home and be a better teacher and to practice harder. So get out there, people. Do Tai Chi. I can't say enough good things about it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, even if you're just interested in it, just check it out, and you might be surprised that you actually like it.
Yeah, a lot of people, you know, will say, well, you know, I'm going to get into that when I can't do MMA anymore, or I'm going to get into that when I can't kick anymore, you know.
Well, I'd like to actually see them be graceful with Tai Chi after, or even during their training in MMA. When they become graceful, then I don't know, I'm still new at this, but I can already tell that most likely they'll know what to do with that energy, because
exactly.
Actually starting using the energy of the ground and then to the fist or whatever, and they'll have a better efficiency in delivering, I think. And I've only been doing Tai Chi for a year and a half.
Yeah, and you know, and it's kind of like, it's comparable to some football coaches, you know, having their team, you know, take something like ballet.
Yeah.
To make them lighter on their feet. Yeah, they're still, you know, going to be tackling people, but they're going to be light on their feet. They're going to be able to move around the blockers and stuff and be more agile to get to that touchdown. And it's the same thing with Tai Chi and regular martial arts. You know, if you want to get faster, if you want to, you know, be a little more fluid in your stand-up game or even your ground game, because Tai Chi does have shuai, the grappling arts, then try Tai Chi. And break it apart, break up the movements, and use the concepts and apply it to your own. Because that's really all it is. Well, we're close on time.
We're pretty much 39 seconds left. So
okay.
Anyway, everybody, great having you, Sifu, on the radio show again. And thank you, Susan, for joining in. And Bob just dropped out about 10 minutes ago, but thank you for calling. So anyway, this is Lynn with Century Health Talk, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks, Tuesday, 8 o'clock. And I'll be with my new co-host, sort of co-hosting that night, Andy, who actually did this music.
Did what? So,
I don't know if you can hear it.
Well, yay for Andy. All right. Yay
for Andy.
Night, okay.
Everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Okay. We ran out of time.
Yeah, we did.